Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Works cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to Miami Nice. You are listening to part two of our episode with Veronica Fitzpatrick from Brightwall Darkroom.
Yes, she's a really great guest. We're very lucky to have her back, Katie. And I'm excited for you guys, because what you're going to find out about Miami Nice episodes, if you're not like, this is kind of your first episode listening, or if you're an enduring listener, you'll find that Katie and I get progressively sillier. So the part twos of these episodes are usually more and more unhinged, more and more wild. Really looking forward to you guys catching up with this one. And we hope you enjoy.
Once upon a time, I was of the mind to lay your burden.
What differentiates, I think, Collateral, like it, in part, although it's doing these stages, and you mentioned firstly, like Daniel, the jazz guy, getting killed, and Barry Shabaka Henley. And I think that that was, there were these moments, there's moments in the movie where it's like, unlike in Speed, well, you sort of get tastes of that. And like, I feel like that jazz scene, even though it comes sort of after the first killing and the realization that he's really that bad, it's almost the scene at the beginning of the film where, like, at the beginning of Speed, that is, where Keanu has that relationship with the bus driver, and they're talking to each other, and then the bus explodes. Like, it actually gives you a clue to the evil of the villain. And I think that that's like, we finally see that you make the assumption that he's not just going out of the cab and like doing this very clean and clinical hit. that mm-hmm. he's taking a perverse pleasure to lure people into conversations, to talk about the things they love, to stroke their ego, and then just go straight for the kill. And so I love that. And then having an audience and watching Vincent perform his role for Max mm-hmm. is so outstanding in this movie. So I wanted to talk about that performative aspect, because on both of those, like, everyone talks about Hopper's performance as being ham, but I'm like, he knows what speed is so much more than people give him credit for, that he's just having a ball, chewing scenery and giving you everything you could possibly want out of a movie villain.
Totally. I mean, one of my favorite things about Speed, not to make this like a Speed episode, but one of my favorite things about Speed is that it's really radical for the villain, I find, in a film like that, to be this like white man over 50 in a police uniform. Like, yeah. that's what he puts on to kind of appear and abuse his power by way of like accessing proximity to Sandra Bullock's character at the end of the film. Like,
yeah.
that's a really profound moment when we sort of have the rack focus and see him on the street in uniform, this uniform that's been on a mannequin in the background of his like lair, like the entire film.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Speed for me is a movie that's so memorable because of those little kind of loaded moments. And Collateral 2, I think, has a lot of little loaded moments like that, some of which sort of work to build, I think, like to make Vincent more loathsome. But then other ones that sort of traffic in the Tom Cruise charisma, the sort of like filmic, extra filmic charisma that he can't help, I think, bringing to a lot of roles, if not all of them. And I'm thinking specifically of when he is in the club. Also, having seen Dead Reckoning Part 1, it's really nice to see a well-shot club scene. Like, it's just what a pleasure to see a party that looks like a party. But anyway, yeah.
And, look, and we can say this unequivocally. The cartels do put on a better club than AI. You know,
oh,
like if, totally. That, if this is anything we can say, is that real cartels, they know how to throw a party.
They yeah. know how to throw a party. Yeah, absolutely.
That's funny.
When he, like, you know, in the process of lots of things, it's certainly not only this, but ends up saving Max's life in the kind of like chaotic shootout. And then we have this like shot, reverse shot, where we see him meaningfully squint at Max. It's like, it's a kind of like open-ended moment, but I just think Collateral, like, a lot of other Mann films, just hangs on the like loadedness and memorable quality of moments like that. And they're often like really enigmatic, you know, there's a yeah. lot of promise there in terms of signification, but it's not necessarily explicit. And as a, you know, passionate like appreciator of the implicit, I think it really does it for me, stuff like that.
I love that, a passionate appreciator of the implicit. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I did a Q&A with Ira Sachs for Passages.
Mm, cool.
This great, sexy love triangle movie where Franz Rogowski is just an absolute menace. It's so good though, but it was interesting because in the conversation, you know, he basically expressed our view, which is like, fuck plot. Mm-hmm. Without me leading him there, but he was just like, you know, like, no one cares about plot. And I just go, vibes. And he kind of looked at me like, and then he goes, impressions. And ooh. I thought that was a really interesting way to put it, which is, and as you're describing this moment with Cruise in the club and this implicit, I think what we're talking about is impressions and like things that you can't get out of your mind after you see a film or a moment or a feeling or just like a flash of an image. And I think that's what filmmakers or like good filmmakers are striving for, is that thing that gets inside of you, not that you're sitting there going, and then he does this and then they drive here. And then, you know, no one gives a shit about any of that. Like it's like, how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is an interesting way to put it as well. Vibes.
I love impressions. That. Impressions. Yeah. I love impressions. That it was like, I see your vibes and I raise you.
I raise you. Yeah.
Impressions? That's so good. You know, there's a moment that stuck out to me.
All Katie Walsh Q&As, I'm sorry, Veronica, all Katie Walsh Q&As sound like the card game in Casino Royale. You know, she's just there. She's just there, like, looking like Mads Mikkelsen, Le Chiffre, just, like, dropping bombs. And she just goaded out this amazing interaction.
I love
that. Yes, I think, actually, and not to... this maybe is going to come off a little bit weird, but being a younger woman doing Q&As with like older men, I think they often have, and Ira's lovely. He's the best. We had a great time. I think that they cannot help but try to correct me a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I will say something sort of like out of pocket and then they're like, no, this. But it actually makes the Q&A a little bit more lively and fun because otherwise it's just them being like, well, then we did this and then we did that. And then if I say something that's just like kind of wacky, then they're like, wait, no, I have to correct you, young woman. So it just like brings a little bit more frisson to the energy.
Beautiful.
And that's not saying that I'm trying to like say wacky stuff. I just, as you guys can tell, it just comes out of my mouth. I can't control it. But
I think, you know, Katie,
I like to keep it energetic.
Katie, you've just described that's one reaction where Katie's there and she's goading things out and she's trying to say things to get great stuff out. And I feel like that's more the Veronica conversation. But if you listen back to some of Katie's episodes, sometimes it's like Tom Cruise using a radio and like demanding that someone interacts, you know, like I think in our last episode with Joe Lynch, Joe was like fluffing around and Katie's like, give me the freaking radio.
I'm
and
like, she's like, get to the point.
Get to the question. And I'm here like gleefully doing that. There was just one thing I want to talk about is you guys are touching on something that I strive to articulate, and it's hard and it often takes time. And I think that that's why I'm drawn to these more lengthy unpackings and like over time where you can revisit things more frequently, is because there are things in movies that get me all the time that aren't about plot and even go like beyond that. It's actually these movies that we end up talking about for so long. I can't describe the physical, like emotional reaction. Like, I feel like it's like, have you heard about those, like, you know, on like debates and stuff where people use a little, like a slider where they're like, I like this or I don't. I like this or I don't. And I feel like that's such a plot driven story, blah, blah. Like, it's such a limited way of looking at things. Whereas I feel like strap a heart monitor onto me or like one of those, like, you know, those things that you put on your head to measure your brain activity, where I'm not touching anything, I'm not doing anything. And I feel like the movies that resonate with me the most, it's just like a little thing where just something happens and your body goes and like buzzes and like this implicit thing where you're like, oh, I'm completely in on this, and then it's gone. And I think the best movies are like, it looks like a heartbeat because it's just like every next scene, there's some amazing thing and it's not the plot. It's a lingering pause. It's a squint of like recognition. It's a pang of disappointment. It's a little bit of interiority. It's like, it's the space between Max saying, I've been driving a cab for like 13 years or whatever he says. And then Vincent going like repeating it like, oh, you know, you've been doing this for 6 months to start your new business, like 13 years. Like, and then the pause between those two moments, that's when my, you know, the internal activity of my body just goes like this scene, the silence. So I think that that's such a great way. Those impressions where you're like, bang, okay, this is it. This is exactly.
And I think one of those moments is when Vincent sees the coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we can like kind of conjure up not just the way his face looks in that scene, but like kind of the feeling of danger and uncertainty, but also just like, he's like becoming his like feral self.
Yeah. Recognition. Yeah. So weird. What a like fairy tale moment to stick in there, you know, proto Fleabag season 2 kind of stuff.
You gonna call her?
Oh, yeah, your lady friend, the one who gave you a business card.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
What? Pick up the phone. Life's short. One day, it's gone. You and I make it out of this alive. You should call her.
That's what I think.
Once upon a time, I was of the mind to lay your burden down.
Well, we love to think that Phoebe Waller-Bridge loves Collateral. But yeah, we'd love that. I'm going to go on a tangent. A weird one is I was in Africa traveling my wife on a honeymoon. And there was a moment on one of our safaris where we were there where we saw we were on a night drive and we saw a jaguar.
Wow.
And we were in this open, everyone's going to probably be freaking out at this. We're in an open truck. Okay. So no doors, soft top. We pull up to a jaguar on a hill through this park. We've been driving around watching, we were looking at lions and stuff like that. And we pull up and we see this jaguar, and the jaguar has to be, I forget that our American audience is not going to get this. It's like, let's just say 3 meters away, 4 meters away. So probably 20 feet, not far away from us at all. And we were there, we were taking photos, and we were just like in awe, and it was amazing. We got these great shots. We get back to our camp and we're sitting back next to a fire and we're all like on a buzz. It's late at night and we're buzzing and we're having a few drinks and we're like, wow, that was amazing. We saw this thing. And the driver was sort of sitting there silently and he was sort of nodding, and it was a local guy, and he just goes, yeah, that was really hairy. And we're like, what?
You're like, oh my God.
He's like, yeah, you can't trust jaguars. He's like, I didn't know if we were going to have to drive away. I didn't know what he was going to do, but I knew you guys wanted the photo. And we all, like, it was that moment where we're like, oh
yeah,
here we are as stupid tourists, like taking a photo of this thing that's just kind enough to roll
you, like,
up for
just
a photo.
Don't realize how much danger you were.
We had no idea. And then that moment of him just like sitting by the fire kind of decompressing from the fear that he was feeling, which is exactly that fear that Vincent, you know, that charge of like, if you do see a wild animal and you don't know what it's going to do, that unpredictability. And he's coming back and he's still coming down off of the adrenalized high of seeing that, and us being completely dopey tourists, like not having any clue. And so now I don't remember the moment in the same way. I'm like, that was one of the scariest moments, even though in the moment I was completely euphoric and excited. And now I'm like, oh no, that was so deeply scary when I reflect on it, because like, what happens if that wild animal turned around and said, I'm not going to chase these deer, antelope who are so fast and get away from me. I'm going to chase this buffet of humans who've just rolled up to where I'm stalking. I might just turn around and eat them. And that's a feeling that I think Michael Mann movies and some of these great thrillers have, of like, you are just stumbling upon this predatory force, and you kind of can't help but have those physical reactions.
We'll be right back after this quick break.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard. So swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, it's sort of like Jamie Foxx has a Jaguar in the back of his car, but he doesn't realize it until, you know, it's too late. And it's like he doesn't realize what danger he's in and what danger Jada Pinkett Smith is in and all of that. So and it's that like dawning horror that is, you know, what makes it.
Well, Jada Pinkett's the cougar in the back of his car.
Oh, zing. I do love, like, she's sort of like relegated to a horror movie girl role at the end of the film when it kind of fully turns in the office building and everything, but I love the way she plays giving her number to Max at the car window, and specifically how she sort of delivers her few lines and then so coolly immediately exits. There's something about the pacing of that interaction that is like properly flirtatious, but also just really enviable in terms of like, I feel like a regular person, had that happen outside of the magic of the movies, would like stumble on the curb or for like 8 more minutes and the person's like, I gotta go, like I'm still working or something. But she just has this perfect, like, you know, two line kind of exit. One of the things I really love about the movie, that little moment.
I'll use your phrase, Veronica. I really like Jada Pinkett Smith in movies. And other than the weirdness that surrounds her personal life outside of that, but I genuinely think this is her best performance because it was someone who actually gave her a meaty performance that has depth, that allows you to, you know, there's nothing wrong with getting a horror movie role, but it's about the depth that you create to actually care about that person at the beginning. And I think that that's the whole thing, that you get her personality, you get her ambition, you get her fragility, you get her focus. And then it's like, okay, we're going to move on to the next thing. But all of that other lead up stuff is so vital to how important her character is that you're like, okay, like it goes beyond that other stuff. And it's the same with Max, you know, it's everything. And Vincent, and the weird feelings you feel of like, he makes him get his mum flowers and the politeness and all of that cordiality. No, you've got to do this. It's your mother. It's your sick mother. This is your night. If you mess this up, obviously it's so selfish. It's, if you mess this night up, you're going to mess it up for me and people are going to know that you're doing something different. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's all those like weird conflicting moments. And she's absolutely outstanding in that.
I was talking to someone the other night who was like talking about how this was probably one of her most like grounded, like real world roles. And I hadn't actually thought about that. They were like, maybe this and Set It Off.
Set It Off,
But yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, she's always like in The Matrix or like she's in Demon Knight, right? And like she's in more like heightened stuff. Although maybe early on, wasn't she in a movie with Tupac? Anyway, but yeah, this is like one of her most like grounded, like real world roles, which I think it's nice to see her in that zone and just like having, you know, and kind of it's interesting because now I'm thinking per our conversation, which started off this episode, you know, Trudy and Tubbs. And like, I think that she and Jamie also have this like a very like cool adult, normal chemistry. Like you said, like she's very cool the way she gives him her number. And obviously it's movie magic, but it's like, it's very sort of like nice and normal and a lovely interaction that feels of the world or aspirational in a way, but it's not heightened. It's just like very normal adult human relationships, which I think Michael Mann does not get enough credit for showing that. I think people are like, oh, they're just dude movies. And it's like, no, he actually has like cool adult women with agency in his movies.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the chemistry between them, I totally agree. And it's a nice break from having to like pretend to buy that Jamie Foxx is this like nerdy guy. Like, I don't care what kind of like rimless glasses you put on him. Like, you can't contain his appeal and his kind of like confidence, which I think is part of why it's so satisfying to see him like rise to the occasion when he has to have the confrontation with Felix. And it's sort of drawn out, like he's gonna fuck this up, he doesn't know what he's gonna say, and then to have him kind of coolly like produce this total competency is like,
yes,
it's awesome.
I think that is a really fun scene when you see him transition from
my god,
you know, from like, whoa, what's going on here?
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous.
Like, yeah, I'm Vincent, you know? It's like, it's so fun. Like, I love that we get to see that actually happen. But I think Mann is obviously very aware of the fact that he's the coolest guy in the world and he's playing a nerd.
But this is what you said before, Veronica, which I love, which is like, this is a charisma industry, you know, with your friends. Cause you said that, I've got a couple of friends where I'm like, she's flirting. So in Australia, we don't have tips. Like, there's not like a tip culture as much. So you do get like a lot of those classic, I like to describe all wait staff in Australia as the lady who is operating the hotel in No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
Like that's their vibe. It's like, it's got two double beds. Like, they just don't give a shit at whether you are having a good time or not. Or like, maybe in higher level restaurants where tips are something that happens more frequently, but on the standard, it's like that very basic thing. But I love that so much, and it plays into that fact, that transformation element with Felix, is that he doesn't give her his number. Like, he's like blown away, and I think we are, and we're happy. Like, we're like, that she's like, oh, here's my number. Like, whoa, I've had 1,000 of these conversations with very attractive people and I've turned the charm on or whatever, and it just never happens. And then she gives him the number and he's like, whoa, like this formidable, attractive, charming person. Like, we had there was something there. It's not just the thing that, just like the postcard that he's going to remember. He actually gets the totem, you know, or the little icon of like, that was a great, the badge. That was a great interaction because she gave me the number. So
it's really, his how do you like them apples moment.
It is. It's exactly. How do you like this cab ride? But I love the Felix moment.
Tell me, Vincent. Tell me, what do you think? What?
I think you should tell the guy behind me to put that gun down.
What did you say?
I said, I think you should tell the guy behind me to put his gun away before I take it and beat his bitch ass to death with it. I picked up a tail.
Federal?
I don't know. You tell me.
That's why I tossed the list. The workups, all of that shit. To protect, in part, your Hermes Fasanabla ass. What do you think I like coming in here? But hey, shit happens. Gotta roll with it. Adapt. Darwin, I Ching. The fat man, the penthouse guy, the jazz man. I leave too.
Can you finish?
In 6 years. When have I not?
It's so good. And then it's like the film acts like it knows how great it is too, because the camera like moves almost in response to what he's just said. And I love when the film like registers in a formal way that there's been this kind of tone shift within the action of the scene, so that that sense of surprise that we might be experiencing that's totally pleasurable is like emphasized in a way stylistically at the same time. So cool.
Yes. Yes. And there's a great sliding doors moment too, right at the beginning, because you forget that Vincent's already been inside to get Annie.
Right.
And he's missed her right in that moment. So in that beautiful heightened moment, he's missed her. They've walked the sliding doors of like, he's been stalking at her office. He misses her. And then he jumps in the cab. And there's that great thing of like, and the entire energy of like, he's like, oh yeah, yeah. No, no, come on, man. Come on, man. Come with me. You know, he calls him back. You know, she calls him back to give him the number. He calls Vincent back to get in the cab. And then he's like, yep, 17 minutes. And then the whole, and then he's being courted by Vincent and the courtship has started. And it's like, oh, this is playful. This is what, and exactly as you said, the entire very passive, calm, formal quality, both in music choices and those beautiful overhead shots of the cab, just, you know, the piece that's happening, it's all a trick until the body falls on the car, and then the formal the formal language of the movie shifts dynamic, these really, you know, claustrophobic, fearful shots, tension, you know, tied to steering wheels and all that sort of stuff, is it becomes the language of the movie until much, much later. And that's the tipping point where Max is allowed out of the car to pretend he's Vincent.
Yeah, it's so smart. I mean, it's like easy to miss, I think, that that's kind of the opening gambit, is that there's this like near miss happening. But I think the movie like brings back that sense of like time and space continuity being kind of like fucked with in a really fatal way. When we get, what is his name? Ray Fanning, the Mark Ruffalo character, when he gets shot, because as we're exiting the club, in all of that kind of melee, it really seems like Fanning and Max are ahead of Vincent, right?
Yeah.
And then to be surprised by the fact that Vincent is actually already somehow outside and that he's going to shoot him from in front instead of behind is just like, it's so good. Like, it's so good. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen the film. It's always a kind of surprise. And it's so simple because it's just like changing the order of who is where when.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fanning, and I'm so glad we finally got to Fanning.
in anyone else's hands, I think that Fanning would survive. But there is a bleakness to him dying. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, wait, he's going to live or something. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that it does, it works with the morality and the darkness and the bleakness of the film. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, we win, you know, the good guy wins at the end, like there's still such a like noir element of like this world is rotten and bad, and bad people get away with bad things, that you have to have, you know, you have to sacrifice the beautiful Fanning.
Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful. I mean, I just feel like ACAB, but when Mark Ruffalo plays cops.
ACAB, except for Mark.
Except for Mark Ruffalo in Collateral and In the Cut.
And Zodiac.
And Zodiac. Oh, Zodiac. I know. Yeah, and in a lot of Shutter Island for Fake, but yeah. So good.
It's yeah. it's that's the fun thing of following Veronica on socials is like you, I knew she was preparing for this and then went down a fanning rabbit hole because it's like, oh, there's yeah. In the Cup pops up and then she's like, yes. Oh, and also Shutter Island. I'm like, yeah. Someone got
yeah, I saw some, you someone were got, watching someone got Shutter
fanning.
Island.
Someone got fanning.
Someone yeah. Got Ruffaloed. And I was like, oh, I gotta rewatch Shutter Island. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, he's that you're so right about that. Like, and also there's a that's a great genre lie of like that one guy,
yeah,
you know, who has figured it out before yeah. Everyone else that this is a hitman scam who's doing this sort of stuff and he can figure it out and he's yeah. Going to be the one guy and maybe he's going to have that romantic, at worst he's going to slip through his fingers in some capacity and like he's going to know and it's going to make him the main character. And the movie, like Michael Mann's like, no, that's not what this is.
Yeah. And I mean, there is something going back to Hopper and Speed, like there's a potentially progressive political reading of that where, you know, in this film, like being affiliated with the police is not the place to be right. It's not the place to like have the right hunch about who should be believed despite the sort of like physical evidence it seems like they're putting together. Uh-huh. And for him to be eliminated, I mean, there's something, yeah, like really tragic about it, but also I think meaningful in terms of what it says about like the institution to which he belongs and what he represents.
Yeah.
I love this reading of the Hopper character in Speed, and I'm realizing that we need to have a double feature of Collateral and Speed. And I'm going to throw in the triple feature, Strange Days.
Oh, yeah.
Which totally. Also really fascinating, you know, like Speed is 2 years after the LA riots. Mm-hmm. Strange Days is 3 years after the LA riots and very much informed by Bigelow's experience with that and sort of losing faith with the police. And, you know, I think Mann is... as someone who makes a lot of like cops and robbers movies, I think he's very mm-hmm. skeptical of those institutions as well. So it's like interesting to see through popular entertainment and through like popular genre entertainment, these auteurs wrestling with policing.
Totally.
And especially the LAPD specifically. So, which is like a long history mm-hmm. of, you know, corruption and everything. So
I'm going to throw one more option into that great features.
Okay.
And just say, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Like, I remember someone being like, you know, someone making an observation in 23, like, huh, like, was James Cameron trying to say something about police that, like, there's a white, trustworthy police officer is the villain in 1992's LA set Terminator film? And James Cameron's like, yeah, like, he wore the uniform. Guys, I don't know what to tell you. A car pulls up at the beginning and says to protect and serve. And then that's the villain of the entire movie. It's like, I don't know how much more explicit I had to be while being implicit, but that's the whole thing.
He's a robot.
He's a robot. Yeah. A psychopathic robot. Killer.
Yes. And Cameron and Bigelow married at that time were clearly, well, not when he made Terminator 2, he was married to Gail Ann Hurd, but you know, clearly they had some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, reading the same books, maybe.
And he also produced Strange Days. So, you know, they were on the same page there. Anyway, I can't wait for this programming series that we're gonna do somehow.
American Cinematheque, let's get it on.
I know. But Veronica, always lovely to have you on.
So
and
great.
I just could talk to you for another hour about everything. So thank you for coming back. This was amazing.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. It's like such a thrill to talk about all my favorite movies.
yes.
You are totally allowed any time back. We're looking forward to secretly auditing all of your classes or just demanding that you send us
send us
the Zoom links. You'll just see Katie and I pop in being like this and they're like, who are these two?
Yeah.
Why does he have an Australian accent?
40-year-old?
Why did two people have the camera on?
Yeah, that's the thing when you're teaching kids is there's like no camera in those Zoom chats. But we'll have the cameras on to audit a class now and then. Thank you so much. It's so great. And again, can you just quickly promo where people best place to find you and to follow you and sometimes to realize that you're on a Ruffalo rabbit hole because that's what I'm enjoying following
you belong.
Oh, thank you. Well, for now, you can still find me on Twitter at Gudo Mako. And then I'm also affiliated, at least, with the Twitter account, the BWDR podcast.
Excellent.
So I don't really tweet from there, but, you know.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saving money on everything for your next project at Menards. It doesn't matter what job you're up against. Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment have the power for you to get the job done faster and easier. The PowerShare 20-volt batteries run longer on a single charge, and they can be used with other tools. Check out Menards' entire selection of Work's cordless power tools and lawn equipment. Plus, the weekly flyer today on Menards.com.
Save money.